Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys, I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side. Concentrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my soul be lost and thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I will commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side.
There are depths of love that I yet may know,
ere the face to face
I see. There are hearts of joy that I yet may reach, ere I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side. There is a river. flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river and flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
That river is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit. Today's the true Pentecost. When you do the math, like we still with I guess the Jews have it today, eh?
Yeah, they have it. They have it from the June the 1st to the 3rd. They call it Shavuot.
Well, like we stay with the program, mm-hmm. Eh? We got to stay with that, the new moon.
And the first, yeah, that's right.
We got to stay with the first new moon after the spring equinox. And then from there you take your springboard, so to speak, and then we come to the
Passover.
The Passover will be in Passover is April 12th, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And then the resurrection would be April 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add, on that day you add 50 days. So if it falls on a Monday, then the real Passover is a Tuesday. You add one more day, right?
Mm-hmm.
7 times 7 is 49. 49 sevenths. And we're not sacrilegious about that, but
mm-hmm.
but we just want to have it right, you know, mm-hmm. because if you don't have that spring equinox, the new moon right, all those other seven feasts, they're out of kilter, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important ones, that's the one in the Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And if you're sloppy with all that, then you're going to miss that true Yom Kippur, which happened exactly October the 15th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the importance of it, and we saw the importance of those feasts anyway. You did that, even wrote the book on it, and then we had that one spot on. We were sitting here for about 2 weeks waiting for October the 15th to come by so that we could recognize. We didn't celebrate. We just recognized today is the true genuine Yom Kippur, because those feasts draw history. They represent something, like the first one represented the Passover.
And you go to Leviticus 23, all these feasts, God laid them out for them. Being mm-hmm. And the first one is the Feast of Passover. And like how you can find a real Feast of Passover is when you go to the spring equinox, and the first new moon after the spring equinox is the first day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you count 14 into the 15th day is then the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And from there it will lead you to every other feast.
Again, if you have that first one wrong, you got all the other feasts mm-hmm. wrong. But we Like I said, I mean, you were so obsessed with those feasts, that there's something in those feasts that's very important. Mm-hmm. If you kind of sloppy Joe on them,
mm-hmm.
like I say, you missed the most important one, which was here in our era, we're responsible for what happens here in our era. Like the people back then, they were responsible to do their the Passover right at the right time. We're responsible to have that feast right.
Mm-hmm. Like when you will look at the feast.
It was an hour, eh?
Yeah. When you will look at the feast as the Feast of Passover, and that's what God gave to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He had those seven feasts. Now, all these seven feasts, there is the real meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Feast of Passover that they held was the first feast that they held coming out of Egypt, when they had to kill a lamb and take the blood and put it on their doorpost, so that when that angel came by, that it would see that blood and see that that house has been redeemed. Basically, it was pointing to Calvary. The blood of Jesus will redeem mankind.
Yeah.
And you look at the next feast, which is then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that Feast of Unleavened Bread was 7 days. They were to partake of unleavened bread in their homes. There was not supposed to be no leaven in their homes. And we know what leaven does. When you add it to bread or any other baking, it changes its form. And that's why it was important not to put leaven in, so that the form does not change. Like if you add leaven doctrines and dogmas to the Word of God, then it changes the Word of God. And that's why they were told to not to partake of leavened bread. And that represented the grace age, that in those seven church ages, not to partake of leavened bread, to keep the Word of God undefiled, the water baptism undefiled, and all these doctrines in the Bible, to keep them in its pure form.
Uh-huh.
And then the next feast was the Feast of the First Fruits. Now they were told to take a part of their crop and take it to the priest as their first fruits, as an offering. And that represented the Lord Jesus Christ when he will be resurrected at the day of the first fruits. And that's what he did. And the first day of the week, he was resurrected. And then the next feast was to count 50 days from that day of the first fruits. And that will bring you to, in the Old Testament, it's called the Feast of Weeks. But mm-hmm. it represented the Feast of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were told to do then, that's when their harvest was coming in. And then they made some loaves. And in those loaves, they were to put leaven. And when they brought those, their offerings, sacrifices, and those loaves of bread to the priest, and he would put him on the altar as a sacrifice. And in the reason they have leaven in those loaves is the old carnal nature. And what that would represent then would be years down the road, where the 120 were instructed, Jesus told them to wait there in Jerusalem for the Comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were waiting there in the upper room. Altogether, there were 120 waiting there. And there fell the Holy Spirit. And all those, that feast was representing for 1500 years, was there at the Feast of Pentecost there, when the Holy Spirit will fall. And you can read it like in Leviticus 23, the Feast of Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all laid out there how they were to count the Feast of Weeks. And every feast is laid out. And that was the Pentecostal feast. And
that's when the Holy Spirit came down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was the first harvest there. And then after that feast, they went back to their homes. And then for the long summer months, they were home in their homes and doing their their work, their fields, getting ready for the second harvest to come in. And then you come to the seventh month. We know that the seventh month, the seventh church age, the God is going to start working with the Jewish people again. And that's where the Feast of the Trumpets come in, where the rabbis went out in the 1900s to sound a trumpet to call the Jewish people to go back to their homeland. And we know that happened, and then we know that the Holocaust came into play, and 1948, when Israel became a nation again, and then the Yom Kippur War, all these were playing parts in God working with the Jewish people again. And that was in that seventh church age, the church age of Laodicea. In the seventh month, they were told to regather in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And that all God has given us a perfect picture of how he works and with those feasts. And then we come to the Feast of Yom Kippur. And that Feast of Yom Kippur was simply the ushering in of the week of Daniel.
Yeah, we took that verse here, and we, like, we're talking just about watchmen, you know. Somebody has to have it right.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be you and I. Like I say, the Lord brought us together, and then you were on those feasts and for 2-3 years, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so much, like I say, that even made a book. And all what God was doing way back then, he was preparing you for that one feast that really mattered to you and I, was that Feast of the Yom Kippur, because mm-hmm. it happened in our time frame mm-hmm. while we were here, like the real Pentecost, it happened back then. But we still recognize it mm-hmm. today, that you got to still have it right, because if you don't have mm-hmm. that one right, you're going to miss that Yom Kippur. That's why what we say here is spot on. That's why today we have that feast of, we recognize it. We don't celebrate it. We just sit here, and today we were watching it. A week ago we had a discussion on it, and we decided that when, according to the scripture, we didn't decide. We went back to the scripture, and we found that 50 days after the resurrection, that's when that true Pentecost was. Mm-hmm. So we have to have it right. And today we have it right. That's why we're having a conversation on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know that we're spot on. Yeah, it happened back then, 2,000 years ago. But today is the day that it's being recognized. According mm-hmm. to the spring equinox, and then according to the new moon, and then according to the Passover, and then according to the other feast, today is the Feast of Pentecost. Not next week when a lot of the religions have it, but you got to remember, Satan, what he does, when God does something, he perverts it, he infiltrates it. And today, Pentecost is just a religious holiday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It turns everything into religion. I tell you what, I'm against that whole religiology. That it's all of Satan. And Satan makes it into appear like something religious and something pious. You gotta have these religious holidays on this particular day. Got nothing to do with religion. It's just Satan's way of perverting everything. And they got, like, the colonies that come out of, and they got a big three days of holidays, religious holidays. So they're clueless what they mean, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And we
mm-hmm.
just recognize it today is the Feast of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we want to recognize it today.
That's right.
Not that it does anything this way or that. That's when the Holy Ghost came down. See what I'm trying to say? The Holy Ghost is supposed to lead people and to all truth, like the real Pentecost. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
what Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down, and then exactly what the Bible says, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. How many of these thousands upon thousands of people that celebrate Pentecost are being led by the Holy Ghost into all truth? If it did, they would all believe what we're doing, because the only reason we're here where we are, the only reason we see what we see, because we have allowed that Holy Ghost to lead and guide us into all truth. We had nothing to do with it. We could never in a million years come up with this.
Mm-hmm.
But we allowed the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us, and he led us out of these religions, out of this Hutterite cult, And that Hutterite cult, it's the same as bringing the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Mm-hmm. These cults and these religions, all they are is Egyptian bondage. And in order to be free, you got to come out of them. What's the point of being in there when you haven't even tasted the freedom? Like I say, that religion is like exactly what I say. It's Egyptian bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord brought us out, and then he opened up our understanding about the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, we're spot on. Today, that's why today we're so detrimental, we're so serious about this day today, just like we were serious in 2021, October the 15th, about that Yom Kippur, because it was detrimental for the day and hour that we were living in, and we were responsible to have that day right on, and it not only represented the Yom Kippur, it represented the seventh seal, the closing out of the grace age, the opening of the week of Daniel. Mm-hmm. There was so much writing on that October the 15th, 2021. And it's just because you had like an obsession with these feasts, and then as time went on, we know why. Because God was preparing you. Make sure you do not miss that Yom Kippur feast, because it mm-hmm. pertains to the hour that you and I are living in, and we're responsible to having it right. And because we've had that right, that's why today we took it so serious. We started working on it a week or so ago to make sure that when that Pentecost day comes, that we have it right, that we kind of recognize it
mm-hmm.
for when it is. It's today. This very day. It's mm-hmm. 40 days. Today's 50 days after the resurrection, mm-hmm. right today, this morning. You want to be exact. And if you're going to do it, you might as well have it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you do, if you don't have this one right, your whole life becomes like, your spiritual life becomes kind of like a sloppy joe,
mm-hmm.
And you and I take this very serious. And our conversation, I was thinking today, it's not attractive to a guy that hasn't sold out to Jesus mm-hmm. Christ and doesn't want no part of this. But see, you and I, that's all we're interested in.
This world
has nothing for us. Yeah, you got to eat just to survive, because I was reading about this lady that she went on a certain diet and she starved herself to death.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a certain amount of balance when it comes to food. But you know, what I'm trying to say is you can't be so sacrilegious that you just forget to eat, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But our conversation, at the end of the day, that's all we're really interested in, about spiritual things. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, when you come to the end of your road, end of your life, the only thing that'll matter. So why not take advantage of the time that you're here? Because there's millions that don't, but we don't have to follow that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, Satan, he loves to pervert everything. He's got everything perverted. He turns everything into a religious holiday, and thereby he uses that very thing to tie people up, to take people back to Egypt. That's basically the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is Egyptian bondage. That's why I'm so dead against it.
And that's why when you will read Acts 2, it was, we know what happened in Acts 2. The day of Pentecost came. Suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came and filled the house and those that were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you can see the day of Pentecost that Peter stood up. There were all these people there. There were some, like people, the Parthians there, the Medes, the Elamites, the Mesopotamia, from Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and the Arabians, they were all representative there. There's all different languages that you have here.
Mm-hmm.
And when the disciples stood up and talked, they were talking and they could all understand their language. And they automatically thought they were drunk. but they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the first time that had ever happened, that the Holy Spirit fell, and they were able to speak in tongues. And then Peter got up with his message, and he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that was all prophesied in the book of Joel, that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. The young men will see vision, and the old men will dream dreams. That was all prophesied in the book of Joel many years ago. And it goes on to say all the other things. And like you were saying, lead us out of Egyptian bondage. In the early church there, what happened was, the Antichrist started writing, because Jesus had sowed a good seed there. And there, then the enemy came and sowed tares, and it went into the Dark Ages because of Nicaea, Rome, the Trinity baptism, that Babylonian spirit perverting everything, and it went into the Dark Ages. And then God had to bring the church out of that religious bondage again. And every church system went and did the same organization. Mm-hmm. The Lutherans did the same, the Methodists did the same, the Calvins did the same. And then you come to the 1900s, and where God was doing once again something, because those three measures of meal that woman hid in the fourth parable, she hid the three ingredients of the justification, the sanctification, and the glorification. See, when God restored the just shall live by faith, he restored that justification part that was hidden, that meal that was hidden. And then the second was sanctification, to live a holy life before God. And then when you come to the 1900s, God did once again the Pentecostal movement of the 1900s came about. When you look at 1901, there was a group of people down in Topeka, Kansas, led by Charles Parham. And he was he's called the father of the Pentecostal movement, because they were actually fasting, and they were fasting for repentance. But little did they know, God was leading something, was looking towards something greater, and was looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there, and they were starting to speak in different tongues, just like back in the at the Feast of Pentecost, when Peter stood up. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened there. God was once again pouring out his spirit, because that had all died down. And God was restoring that glorification part of that ingredient of what was lost there when that woman, that Roman Catholic Church, took those three measures of meal and hid with all her leaven, with all her dogmas and creeds, that she changed the Word of God into a different form. And the people did not recognize the Word of God anymore, because she had everything hidden. And she did not, that woman, that Roman Catholic Church, did not want people to find out the truth. And there at Topeka, Kansas again, God once again was restoring that part of that Pentecostal movement that happened there, when they were starting to speak in different languages, in different tongues. And then it moved out down to Azusa Street, and it's still known today, where William Seymour, he was very enthused about this movement. And then he came in contact with Charles Parham, and he was a part of a group of churches, and they did not want him in their church. So he had to go rent a warehouse, and God was starting something new. Mm-hmm. And then what God was doing was, he was leading people to the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the glorification ingredient that God was restoring, that was there at the early church there at the day of Pentecost. And that's how beautiful God has all put it in the feast for us to look at, to remember all the glorious things that God has done for the Gentiles, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bringing out a bride, and that was all part of the feast that God was commanding the children of Israel to have every year. But they were all pointing to something that would be the real event, and it was it was casting a shadow. It was a type of something, and the real type happened there at the day of Pentecost. But God was once again restoring that Pentecostal movement in the 1900s, so that we, the church, can come to the same belief that the mm-hmm. church in this day and age will come to the same belief structure that God had there at the day of Pentecost with the early church.
What people don't realize, as soon as God does something, mm-hmm. Satan, he's right there like a dirty shirt, and all he can do is just a copycat. All he does is copy what the Lord does, and he goes in and he perverts it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he did with that early church. He waited 300 years, slowly integrating these antichrists, and before you know it, he took that mm-hmm. innocent water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by immersion and repenting and being led by the Holy Ghost into all truth. He took that and he perverted it and turned it into that Roman Catholic garbage that they got out there that caused the church to go into the dark ages. And for up until the 1500s, the Lord decided, well, Satan, you had your day. The party's over. And he brought in Martin Luther and all these reformers, and then put Satan out of commission. See, when the time is right, Satan has no choice. He's got to go. And Martin Luther, what he did, he put that Roman Catholic Church system completely out of commission, mm-hmm. simply by one phrase: the just shall live mm-hmm. by faith. And they could no more charge people for repentance mm-hmm. and for being paid out of purgatory. One single stroke, bingo. There he put that thing out of commission, exactly what the scripture says. What he does, he dealt that beast a deadly wound, which that beast was the Roman Catholic Church, and the beast is the dark, that European system that he controlled the people with. Mm-hmm. He had to have some kind of an army, and some kind of a government, and he used riding that beast. He used the European system to keep everybody under check, you know.
That's right.
And then, like I say, the 1500s, Satan never gives up. Mm-hmm. But God is more powerful than he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And what he did, he brought the church back out of Roman Catholicism. And then what they did back in the days of Martin Luther, or just shy today, right away, Satan was there to put them back to sleep and to yank them and drag them back into that synagogue of Satan where they just come out. Mm-hmm. You can go back and read it, what he said about the Church Age of Sardis, that they had a little light, and he saw that light was going out, and he warned them. And what did they do? They didn't take heed, and before you know it, the Lutherans became just another synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we're speaking so verbally. That's why we're up against these cults, and because we speak so plain, because we see the dangers what they do.
That's
right. Like Satan, he's right there like a dirty shirt, and the minute God does something, he's in there to pervert it. He'd come here to him because he'd try time and time again, but we're on to him because we see what he did in history, and then we're awake, you know, we're sober, we're vigilant, and we're doing exactly what the early apostles did. They were sober, they were vigilant, they were not ignorant of Satan's devices. And you and I, we're not ignorant of these tugs that come in here, try to drag you back into these synagogues of Satan. And they don't even know it. They think they're doing God a service. Just like Jesus said, the time will come, they'll kill you, and they'll actually think they're doing God a service. But see, we're on top of things. We're sober. We're vigilant. And we see this thing coming. We see it from a mile away. The Lord already, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's allowed us to see who's going to try to come in here next to pervert us. And we also let us know who the next genuine one will be. we see it coming. Because why? Because of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is here between you and I, and we see all these things. We're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit, like I say, into all truth. If these colonies, if they had just an ounce, just a drop of the Holy Spirit in them, He would lead and guide them into all truth, just like He did us. Instead of trying to fight it, we weren't like us. We were journeying on the journey. We were led to the ministry of Brother Brennan, mm-hmm. which is leading us into all truth.
That's right.
And then Brother Jackson. Now here we are, continuing on the journey, trying to tell people, whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Because this is that fountain of living water. This is where it comes out of. And then whoever wants it can have it. It's just that simple. How simply can put it.
And that's why the ministry of Brother Brenham is so important. It's because what he did was he took all the truths that God had restored. So he took all what God restored through the Lutherans, like the to Martin Luther, the Joshua lived by faith. He took what Knox, God restored through Knox, eternal security, and what God restored with Calvin, predestination, and what God restored with John Wesley, sanctification, a holy life. And then there was many truths that were restored. Even like when you will read about the Jehovah Witnesses, they believe in the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Seventh-day Adventists and these came on the scene, nobody had ever really touched on the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was back in the 1800s. And then, these are all little truths that God dropped through time. And He took those truths, those major truths, like the justification, the sanctification, the glorification. And that's why His ministry was basically a pollinator. He took all that ingredients, and He was able to pollinate the seed, and with the proper ingredients, with the proper truths that were restored, just so that the last seed, the last church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be like the first, and that seed that went into the ground has to be the same seed that is being produced.
Yeah, that happened the ministry of Brother Branham is so detrimental, because what he did, he took all these truths. Each one of these organizations had a certain amount of truth. Even the Hutterites have a certain amount of truth, mm-hmm. all things come, but they missed the main ingredient. All those that believe
that
all
right.
things come. That last church will be all things come, like you and I. We got all things come concerning spiritual things.
Yeah,
we got the same belief.
They missed the born-again experience.
Yeah.
They must be born again, so they're manufacturing everything. Let's say it's all a manufacturing business, right?
That's what Satan does.
That's right. Instead of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And that's what the key of it is. That's why they're trying to manufacture a Christianity without the born-again experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that.
It becomes a communist thing.
Right.
It becomes a satanic thing. That's why I say the Satan is the head of it. Because the devil cannot produce. He must be born again. Mm-hmm. He can only copy what God has done. And that colony structure you see out there, it's just Satan's engineering, and there's nothing special about that thing. It's just Satan's copycat, just like he did throughout the Dark Ages. He took what was real, took what was true, and he perverted it, and it became a cult. That's all basically all it is. That's why I'm so against these religions, because even his end time, all they do, they're driven by Satan to lock people up, bring people back into Egyptian bondage. And you can see it throughout the church ages, throughout history, throughout the Bible. You can see exactly what it did. At first it was a thought, then it was a teaching, and then evolved into a synagogue of Satan, and then eventually evolved into the seat of Satan. That's what these churches have become, seats of Satan. And when we speak so plain, they think we're blaspheming, because they're still under that spell of Satan. Mm-hmm. And when we say these things, oh man, they think it's hate, they think we're blaspheming, we've committed the unpardonable sin, and we tell people the truth, because it took us, 30 years for the Lord to teach us all these things, and now all we're doing is we're just delivering what the Lord has walked us through.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of giving you a crash course on things. How important that day today is. Today is when we recognize the day of Pentecost. Today. Not next week. It's today. Mm-hmm. But like I say, if you're sloppy on that, you're just sloppy Joe and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Satan does, like I say, he takes and he makes it into a religiology, you know. That you feel you've got to have these three holidays, religious holidays. Well, you don't have to have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no religious holidays. You just get taken. Recognize via the scripture, via the new moon, then via the resurrection, 50 days after that, there it is, right today.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize today that it's the day of Pentecost. And what that Pentecost represents, it's the baptism, it's the dropping down of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, like I say, it will lead and guide you mm-hmm. into all truth. If you really have the true Holy Spirit, He will lead you exactly where you and I are sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
And He will teach and lead and guide you exactly where the truth is. That's what He did with us. That's why we believe in what God said to the prophet. Because the Holy Spirit led us to the doorstep mm-hmm. of that Brother Brennan ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Then He took us on and He led us to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then He went off the scene and then He got us to write an exam and start up this work at his website. And that's our only job description that we have. And like I keep saying, for a lot of people that are still tangled up in the things of this world and the things that this world has to offer, it's a very boring subject.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody cares about their total destiny, this is where you're going to find it. And you're going to get a bonus. What you're going to get, you're going to get a invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and God's going to see to it that you're there. If you can only get yourself to place where you believe it, and you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of the living God, and He allows you, and you allow Him to convince you that this is the right thing, because you know the Scripture. You go back to the Scripture, and you see it in the Scripture, not because we said it. You go check it out, you see it in the Scripture, and then you're sold to it. That's just that simple. And you get that, like I say, get a bonus. But that time will come. The Lord will take you out on the rapture. And then all hell breaks loose down here. Like we were saying yesterday. The day of the Lord. Great tribulation. All these things. And then the separating of the sheep and the goats. And then, you know, you want to hit for that 75 day. That town, what is it?
1,335.
You want to get to that day, because when you get to that day, like the Bible, blessed is he that reaches that day. If you're still alive here, you're walking right into the millennium. The Bible is mapped out so crystal clear and so perfect, so flawless, that you and I, we don't have no worries about what these wars will do, what Russia will do. God's got it all under control. They get threatened, like it says, wars and rumors of wars. Now there's a big rumor of atomic nuclear war and all that stuff. God controls the nuclear. God controls everything. And He just lets mankind go so far, and then He puts a stop to it. And at the end of the day, these wars that's going on over in Israel, just the devil trying to stop the word of God from becoming fulfilled. At the end of the day, they're going to build their temple. At the end of the day, they're going to have their land. Just the way God planned it. Because God made a blueprint back, way back before there was an angel. He had to sit down, and he didn't even have to sit. He just, in his great mind, he made a blueprint. And then when he was done with that blueprint, he kind of stretched his arm. I'm going to see to it that that blueprint is going to be executed right to the T.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he got these wars, because Satan is trying to stop that blueprint that God made back before the foundation of the world. He's trying to, what's going on over in the Middle East? The devil is trying to stop God's program. And at the end of the day, he's just going to get one splinter, you know, when the time is right, just like happened back in the prehistoric. He got booted out of the heaven realm, got kicked out of heaven. Got kicked down to hell. And there's people that were down there, there were these fallen demons that were down there already. Have you become weak as we? That's why I keep saying, Satan is so stupid and so weak, he doesn't have no revelation anymore. He just copycat, and then he goes in and perverts what God does. God's got no brains. He's like these preachers. They got no brains to think for themselves. People have got to think for it, so they don't go to hell. And they like, man, they don't even have the capacity to go check, see if these things be so. Mm-hmm. Kind of gets you worked up, but, you know, I have every right to get worked up. Because the fire, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up, you know, just... Sometimes you get worked up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's what we're doing today. We're recognizing that day of Pentecost. It has a real meaning. It's the Holy Spirit came down. And then if you really have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have, unless you have that charismatic spirit, mm-hmm. That charismatic spirit will never lead you to all truth.
That's right.
It's a joke what that charismatic spirit does. And there again, people just don't step back and realize that it's against the word of God what that charismatic mm-hmm. spirit does. And it just keeps them empty and longing for more. Right. It never satisfies you. Never gives you that joy unspeakable full of glory. And it doesn't. It leads you nowhere. It leads you out to hell and death. But for today, we've got telling people that Holy Ghost. Today, we recognize it. And that if you really, truly want it, you just ask for it. And then that Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And you're going to see exactly what you're trying to see here. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, what we're saying is just gibberish. You get nothing out of it. But to us it's life eternal. To us, it's real. It's spiritual food.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. He came. It says in John 16:13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And it was all to lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit came so that we can have life and be more abundant, have it more abundantly, like people that walk in this life and they have this experience, but you know, they've never come to the knowledge of the truth.
Then you have to ask yourself, where did they get experience from? It came from the devil, because mm-hmm. this, if it came from the Lord, from the real Holy Spirit, he will lead in your eyes into all truth. And you wouldn't have to debate. You wouldn't have to sit here and fight with people and they come in here and then this way or that, because they're going to see the same thing you're saying. Mm-hmm. They'll have one thing to say, yeah and amen. Mm-hmm. We don't debate with people. You either get it or you don't. And that's why it's so priceless when the Lord brings somebody around that has a desire for truth. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty hard to find, because like we said yesterday, faith will be taken from the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last days, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, you think you'll find faith on earth? No. They just see what they just believe what they see. You have no faith. Mm-hmm. Because it's taken from the earth. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another day of life, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come together and sit with you in heavenly places, Lord. I just pray we'll never take life for granted and take the things that you do for us for granted, Lord, but always be grateful and mindful of your care and keep, Lord. Do with us as you see fit, Lord. Most of all, give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.